Hi there, this is Dan Delta Collins. You're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and also youtube.com/wanderingdms. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hi everyone, welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul, and that's all you're getting to say today. Dan is off wandering for the next 2 weeks, so I'm running the show solo. And what could possibly make for a better solo show than me playing my favorite solo board game, Barbarian Prince? Published in 1981 by Dwarf Star Games, Barbarian Prince is a fantasy hex crawl adventure that emulates early D&D outdoor campaigns. Will I be able to raise an army and reclaim my heritage before time runs out? Or will I die horribly at the hands of the usurper's mercenary thugs just trying to cross the Tragoth River? All that and more today on Wandering DMs. Before we get into today's show, I'll remind everyone that, as always, at the end of the show, I'll be hosting our after-party chat. That's a live video chat hosted on our private Discord server, and you can join in by joining our Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/wanderingdms. Join at any tier, even the $1 tier, will get you an invite to our private Discord server. Get your account all set up over there on the Discord server before the end of the show, and maybe about 10 minutes or so after the end of the show, I'll be there to chat with you all live. Okay, this is the first time I think I've run this show all alone, so bear with me, everybody. So, let's get going. Barbarian Prince. Let me talk a little bit about my history with Barbarian Prince. So this game came out in 1981, and I did not own an original copy back then. I probably would have ate it up if I had found it or been aware of it. But I became aware of it, I think, around 2010, 2011. At that time, the rights for the game had been taken over by Reaper Miniatures. I think they still hold the rights. And they released PDFs and scans of the map and all the things you really need to play for free online, but with a kind of weirdly restrictive license. You have to very clearly state that they are not giving up their rights to it. If you want to host it anywhere, you can't modify it. They retain the right to revoke it at any time. But if you search online for Barbarian Prince, you will find it, and it's fairly easy to put together and print out your own copy of the game, because it's just a couple of booklets, a board, and a single miniature to move around the board. So that's what I did, and I have this box here that I spent too much time with, I suppose. Here you go. So inside this, I've got my Barbarian Prince board, the couple of booklets, I've got a miniature here, some paper to keep some notes, dice, and some printouts of the larger charts that we'll be referencing quite a bit. So I'm going to set that all up. Now, I was playing this for a little while. I would play this on my lunch hour at work, honestly, originally. I really enjoy a difficult solo game, which this certainly is. And probably today, we might play a few rounds of it, depending on how often I die in the first day or two, because it's frankly likely. So here you go. Here's our nice full-color print. It's gotten a little faded because I made this back like 10 years ago, at least 15 maybe at this point. I have a miniature. So this is this well 10 millimeter mini. Oh my gosh, that can barely see it on the screen, but he is a little barbarian. He just fits nicely on the hexes. Let's see, I have a camera here to do more close-up stuff, so let's see if I can get that going. Let's see if that's interesting at all to look at. And here we go. So, yeah, that's maybe a little more exciting to look at. So, here's my little barbarian mini that I painted ages ago. It's not the one that came with the game. You can still find the one that came with the game. I think they actually still do. Or they made it as a separate thing, like a separate miniature that was created. So you can still go find them online, and you can find copies of the original game on eBay. But man, do they go for a lot! So I think the DIY route is probably better. Okay. So, oh, and the other thing is, just for for background with this game, when I was originally playing it, I wanted to get through the content more quickly, and one of the slowest parts of it, frankly, is combat, which is not terribly exciting in this game. It's just a lot of back and forth dice rolling of on each side to see who hits who for how many points of damage until one side dies or not. Especially early in the game, you don't really have many other options. It can be a little slow. So I wrote some software to just do all of the dice rolling and run all the combat for me at one point, just so I could play through it a little more quickly. That is actually eventually what evolved to the mobile game Road of Kings, which I produced. Probably again around 2012 or 13, maybe. It was a mobile game that was very much inspired by this sort of hex crawl adventure game, put out by a group called Dancing Sorcerer Games. No longer available, I'm afraid. But really scratched an itch that I wanted to scratch. I really enjoyed making that game. And frankly, that game in turn is an inspiration for my current project called Hex Crawl. And if you're interested in that, you can check that out at hexcrawl.online. That's a very early alpha project that I'm working on. It's a web game, again, a hex crawl adventure game. That one in turn uses actually an AI under the covers to take your input and create custom stories and custom content for your game. I know it's probably a hot spot. Not a lot of folks not so keen on the AI. I will point out that it works entirely with a local LLM, so you're not producing data centers or funding data centers with it. Just runs on your own machine. And why do I bring all that up? Is because I started tinkering a little bit in prep for the show of sort of what else could I have on hand that would help me run this game? And the answer was, well, I kind of I get tired of hearing myself talk, frankly, especially when I'm on the show solo. And I thought a little bit of software might be nice, one to like maybe with a computer voice read out some of the sections, so it's just not me talking all the time. And then also, like, could I possibly get the that combat simulator? So I'll run the combats by hand to start with, and then at some point, somebody in the chat might be like, "This is boring, man. Just run the simulator. We'll switch to that." So I have that actually here running, and also I put that up on GitHub, and I'll share it around. So the funny thing was, originally my thought was, the game is so text heavy. There's two booklets. There's like a rules reference booklet and an event booklet. It's a lot of like cross-referencing chunks of text. If you move on this day in this way, go reference this section, go read this section, and then depending on how do you want to react, you meet some goblins. Do you want to fight? Do you want to run? Do you want to try to talk to them? That'll reference you to another section. So a lot of the game can become flipping through pages of booklets. So I started just thinking like, well, what if I just fed these PDFs to an AI? Could it like do all the jumping around and referencing for me? That software got a little out of hand. So that is what's in I have up on GitHub if anybody wants to look at it. I'll post that link around. It had the classic problem that I've seen anybody who watched me do Martha the AI DM sees, which is AI is terrible at implementing rules. So it was real nice being able to jump around to the different chunks of text and read out the text to me quickly, which was great. And then it would mess up the rules and make up rules, and it was just absolutely terrible. And the more I tinkered with it, the more I was like, I'm writing more and more code here that eventually I'm just going to get to the point where I'm going to write out the AI, and it's just going to be pure code, which maybe is an interesting project, maybe, but a little much for this show. But nonetheless, let's experiment with that real quick. I'm going to put the this thing up here, and I'm going to run it. And I'm really only intending to use this for reading aloud blocks of text and possibly running some of the combats. But let's start with reading the very first intro block and see how that sounds. And folks can tell me maybe in the chat if that sounds, good or terrible or what. Oh, and because it's going to stream, I can't hear it. Oh, wait, I can hear it. Oh, wait, you can't. There we go. Maybe now it's hopefully now it's reading aloud to you. And how do I get to hear that? I think I got to plug in my headphones is the answer. That's what I have to do so that I get to hear it. Sorry, everyone. This is live television for you. Here we go. Okay, I have a headphone here I can plug in so I can hear the voice, maybe?
Now consult Rule 202 to determine the starting attributes. Rule 201 yeah. of yourself as the barbarian prince, and then return to this event.
Harry, he sounds very echoey.
Below.
Okay.
To escape the mercenary and royal guard, your loyal body servant Argeb smuggled you into a merchant caravan to the southern border. Roll one die to see where the caravan takes you. While poor Argeb faces the wrath of the royal guards back home, you are in 1 Argon 101,
poor, oh God.
2 Hex 701, 3 Ruins of Jackers Keep 801, 4 Hex 1301, 5 Wesher 1501, 6 Hex 1801. Now at dawn, you roll out of the merchant wagons into a ditch, dust off your clothes, loosen your sword belt, and get ready to start the first day of your adventure. See Rule 203 for possible actions available to you. Important note, if you finish actions for a day on any hex north of the Trajoth River, the mercenary royal guardsmen may find you. See event 2 after normal events are concluded, but before you take your evening meal, rule 215.
Yeah, so I'm going to take that out so I don't hear my own voice echoing at me. I hinted at that in the beginning. Getting across the Trajoth River in the very beginning is hard, and where I die more often than not. So, fun. Let's get our character going here. So I'm going to get my little piece of paper. I'm going to write, my name, which is Cal something Aroth, Argoth. I'm looking at the wrong thing. Right. See, this is exactly what I was worried about. Now I'm jumping around, flipping between stupid booklets. Cal Aroth. I have combat skill is really like my only stat besides a combat skill and endurance are my only stats, and they're just set. I have combat skill 8. I have endurance of something. I was listening, I swear. No, I wasn't. I was fumbling around looking for my headphones. Combat skill 8. Endurance 9, there it is. And then I have Wit and Wiles, which it tells me to roll a die for. And Wit and Wiles is kind of the one control you have on difficulty, I guess. The rules even suggest maybe if you lost last game, put a higher Wit and Wiles. If you won the last game, go lower Wit and Wiles. And he does tell you to reroll once. I guess I'm going to roll it here, and I'm going to regret this. Oftentimes, I'll just give myself like a 4 because it's pretty solid. Oh, there goes my die. I rolled a 3, so that's fine. Wit and Wiles, 3. Okay, there's my character sheet. 3 whole stats. Done. And then we have to figure out which hex I start in. I'm trying to roll the dice here where it's invisible. And kind of, there you go. It's a 4. So the answer is 4. Hex 1301, which I believe is right here, just all the way at the northern edge of the map, just north of the horrible Trajoth River. Okay. I'm going to go. Yeah, the game audio is not great. All right. I guess I'll just read it. That was a cute experiment. I'll just read it. Okay, so we already heard the intro text. The old king is dead. I need to raise 500 gold. But really, at the very beginning, your main goal is get south of the stinking river because holy crap, it's terrible. Getting across the river is convoluted. Moving is convoluted, but getting across the river is even more so. So much so that I actually wrote on my blog a while ago a whole article on crossing the river, which I'm going to look up because I actually happened to draw myself a pretty nice flowchart for that. Actually, I bet I can even slap that on screen. Let's take a look at that. There you go. Here's my flowchart for how to cross the river. It's so dumb. But there's so many checks to be made. Normally, as you're moving around, you're making a check to see if you get lost, but then there's also a check to see if there's an event, something happens, and then double that because you're crossing a river. So there's one for the river and one for the target hex, and it gets really fiddly because it's technically possible to cross the river but get lost entering the new hex, and therefore you're across, you count as having crossed the river, but you're still in the old hex. It's one of the things I think, like, if I was going to fix this game, that would be a top priority rule to adjust. But I'm going to try and play it here as written, rules as written, as I can. Oh, I totally forgot I had this. Look at this. I have this nice little tracker chart that I can, like, put tokens on to indicate what day it is and how much food and gold and what's my endurance. Let's do that, right? Let's do that. I should do that. Do I have tokens? I'm unprepared with tokens. But can I guess I can set that right here. What do I have on hand within reach that can behave as a token? I should have thought of this ahead of time. All I really have are these 2d6. I didn't even bring my extra dice. Bear with me, stream. I'm gonna run real quick and grab maybe my dice bag or a bag of tokens. This is terrible television now as I run away. Apologies for the dead air, everyone. Oh, and the magic camera followed me, so you all got to watch my kitchen as I did that. But, got tokens. Okay. All right, so it is the first day of the first week. I have zero food. They really screw you at the beginning of this game. Oh, I do have starting money, though. I didn't roll that, did I? Okay, let's get that off the screen here. So, yeah, there's something in the rules here about how at the very beginning I have wealth 2, and there's a chart in the rules for wealth. It's basically your starting wealth is just as if you had killed a monster. So here's our chart, and I'm just going to roll one die across the wealth 2 column. Oh, I'm smooshing my miniature. Careful there. And I got a 3. Yep. And a 3 equates to 2 gold. So I have 2 gold to start. Better than nothing. Put that. And this tracks my endurance as well. That's handy. So let's put a token on endurance. And then just so folks can see, here's my tracking chart over here. Mm-hmm. There you go. That works. Okay, I'm going to put my miniature back where I was smooshing him. He's on 1301. He's ready to go. Now let's do the annoying, crazy chart of crossing the river. Oh my gosh. Okay, so the first check when crossing the river is to see, do I get lost? Just trying to find out, or the way I read this is like, can you find a ford point? Can you discover some way to a viable crossing of the river itself? River crossing. You must first consult travel table 207 for getting across the... Oh, 207's on a separate sheet. Wait, oh, it's a separate sheet. Hills, mountains, road, countryside, forest, airborne, rafting, searching a ruin, swamp, crossing a river. There you are. Okay, so we're lost on an 8+. So we're hoping for... hey, Dan, you'd be happy to hear this is a low roll game, apparently. Okay. Really need something better to put these dice in. Look at that. Look at that. Snake eyes. As good as it could get. So we're not lost crossing the river. That's good news. Do we get a river event? What's the chance for a river event? 10 plus. Let's see if I can just kind of do that. There we go. Is that better? Yeah. That is a 7, so no river event. This is about as good as it gets to start the game, because holy crap, do we want to get across this river? We're going to end up in the swamp, which sucks, but whatever. At least we won't get ganked by the royal guardsmen. Okay, there was no river event, so... do we get lost entering the hex? And lost... Oh, God. Why did I pick swamp? Lost on a swamp is 5+. Very good chance I get lost in the swamp. Yep, for sure I'm lost in the swamp. Each time you enter a hex, you may get lost. See R205 for details. That's what I'm reading. If you get lost, you are unable to get out of the hex of the chosen route. You're stuck the rest of the day in the hex where you started. You cannot select an alternate action. But I believe I still have to check for an event. Which is weird, but there you go. Okay, I think I'm doing this right. Chat, you know, anybody who knows this game, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But I think we're going to be rolling here for a river crossing event. These charts that I think are available on that site kind of nicely sum up some jumping around in the booklets. So it kind of... I think the booklets do like a roll d6, and then you're on this end of this table, and then roll d6, and now you're going to jump to here, and this kind of just nicely makes it a quick table, so I'm going to do that. So roll down, then across. So our roll down is a 4, and our roll across is a 2. E91. In the swamp. Lost in the swamp. Your party unknowingly walks over the lair of a poisonous snake. One character, use R343 to select victim, I think I know which one it's going to be, suffers snake bite poison wounds. Roll one die for the number of poison wounds received. Cool. Poisoned wounds. 6, of course. 6. As bad as it could get. Is there a rule in here for poison? I assume there must be. Food, starvation, lodging. You know, usually it's pretty good at cross-referencing different parts of the poison wounds. A poison wound cannot be healed in the normal manner. It remains a wound regardless of rest taken until either a special possession provides a cure or the character dies of wounds. Great. Just going to slide that endurance all the way down to 3. Yikes. I'm real hurt. And guess what? That applies massive penalties in combat, so not looking so good for our pal, the Cal Arath, on day 1, lost in the swamp. At least he got across the river? Yeah, I don't know. Okay. After we take our action for the day, we go to our end of day sequence, and, let's jump to that. Let's oh my gosh, so much combat wounds and endurance. Is it oh look, the rules for true love. That's not what I'm looking for. The end of the day, you continue play with... No, there you go. All events are resolved for your daily action. You must then eat your meal, as described in the food rules, and if in a town, castle, or temple hex, you may purchase lodging. Food rules, 215. Well, guess what? I started with 0 food. That's not so cool. So I got to eat for day 1. After actions, events, and encounters for the day are finished, you and your party must eat your main meal. This may include hunting for food, using food stores, or purchasing a meal. For convenience, food is counted in units. Each unit is sufficient to feed one man for one day. Mounts require 2 units per day. Okay. If you're in a farmland, countryside, forest, hill, or swamp hex, I guess the question is, I rolled everything on swamp. I guess I'm kind of wondering if I should still count as being stuck in the countryside. No, I didn't get lost counting in the swamp. I got lost in the swamp itself. It's confusing. Crossing the river is confusing in this game. Not my favorite. Okay, pushing on. I'm in the swamp. I am actually allowed to hunt in the swamp, thank goodness, because otherwise I'm in trouble. Okay. Any one character in your party can be the hunter. Total the combat skill and half his current endurance. Well, that's not great. My combat skill is a nice whopping 8, but my current endurance is only 3 because I am poisoned. That's an 11. Oh, sorry, half his current endurance. What are we going to round down, I guess? Sure. Round fractions down, there it is. And then subtract from that the roll of 2 dice. So 9. 9 minus 2d6. Here we go. Nine minus 7 is 2. The result is the number of food units gained by hunting. Oh, that's cool. We got some food, guys. 2 food units. Fantastic. If the character can act as a guide, if the total is 0 or less, than hunting was unsuccessful. If the dice roll was 12 exactly, the hunter himself was hurt regardless of success or failure. Roll one time for the number of wounds he suffered. Well, thank goodness that didn't happen. So I guess I get to eat one of those food units. So I guess I imagine that Cal Arath, stumbling his way from the north, swam across the river into the swamp. Sodden and disgusting and caked with mud, he stumbled upon a den of snakes, and he snatched one up because he was starving, and it bit him and poisoned him, and Cal Arath, in a fit of rage, bit the head off the snake and consumed its flesh, and he put the other half of the snake away in his belt for tomorrow. That's clearly what happened. Okay, here we go. We're in an interesting spot in the map. I think staying in the swamp is a bad choice. We really need to find some kind of healing, some kind of magic healing to get the poison out. Was there a thing about resting? There's a thing about resting, right? I should have done that after I ate my meal, I suppose. Although, I think what we're going to discover is nothing happens. I don't regain any wounds because I'm poisoned. Resting is a special action I can take. So in any hex, I can rest in the current hex to heal wounds and improve hunting. I can travel to a new hex, or I can search for a previously placed cache. If somehow, I don't know why there are rules for this, but if somehow I find treasure and decide to hide it and like bury it in the hex, then I can come back later and look for it. I don't know why you would ever do that. And there's a bunch of actions based on whether if you're in like a town or a castle or a temple or a ruins, none of which apply here. So I think the answer is we got to get the heck out of this stinking swamp. So here we are on the second day. Time to get out of the swamp. Where's my dice? There we go. So we want to move. I want to say that the only real way to move is to the southwest here, into the forest. And I believe that the lost and event checks are for the new getting lost. Each time you try to leave a hex, you may get lost. If you get lost, see R205. I love that they reference themselves. I'm literally reading R205 and it says see R205 for details. That's what I'm reading. R205 is the whole section on lost. Each time you attempt to leave a hex, there's a danger, get lost. Consult the travel and find the terrain type you are leaving. Okay, so that sucks. Yeah. So I guess the lost check is for the hex you're leaving, and the event check is the hex you're entering. That sounds reasonable. So the swamp, lost on a 5. It is so unlikely that we're ever going to get out of this hex. We're going to die in the swamp, guys. That's what's going to happen. That's my prediction. Holy crap! I didn't get lost. Cal Arath struggles his way into the forest in the southwest. And then I believe That we're just going to check for travel events. Each time you attempt to enter a new hex, travel, find the terrain type you attempted to enter. So forest is an event on a 9+. Oh yeah, there is an event in the forest. Day 2. Here we go. Our down is a 6. And our cross is a 1. This doesn't look good. This doesn't look good, friends. What did I just read? It was E78. Here we go. Bad going. Ignore this event unless your party is traveling on mounts without wings, such as horses. Ignore this event regardless of mounts if your party is traveling along a road to enter a village or enter a temple. Unless your party is traveling on mounts. Well, great. I'll ignore it. Cool. Don't hate that. Let's see if I pull this camera back a little bit. Maybe that gives me more space to roll the dice. Yeah. Okay. Okay. End of day. We're going to go hunting because we have one whole food unit. I mean, I guess I could eat the other half of that snake, but let's hunt. Why not? My combat skill is still at a nice whopping 8. Our endurance is a 3. Cut in half is 1. I need a 9. 9 minus 2d6. That is a 4. I managed to find 5 units, and I'm going to eat one, which I had one. So I eat the other half of my snake, and then I go hunting and track down a boar, wrestle him to the ground, kill him with the... I don't know what. What do I have? Oh, I have a broadsword, right? I have a broadsword. Kill him with my sword, skin him. I guess chuck the meat in my pack. Sure, that's what happens. Day 2, you know, looking better. Still not feeling very close to, any kind of way of finding a cure for this poison that I'm under. I feel like that's my major goal now, is stop being poisoned. I'm in a weird spot on this map, right? I don't want to go back the way I came. I'm not crazy about going into this hex down here, because it's more swampland, which is real good for getting lost. But the only other way is maybe to cross the river, cross another stinking river. But maybe that's my best bet, is try and cross this river and then make my way south down here. It's kind of more interesting terrain. Actually, let's zoom out a little bit, because then you're going to see, as I make my way south, if I am so lucky as to make it all the way down here, eventually I'm going to hit the desert, and that's no fun. I guess I could try to cross these mountains and get down to this road. If I went this way, I could go north up to these hills and then loop around and try to come around this side. I think that this close-up is not working for us. Let's see. I don't know if this is very visible for everybody on the stream, but I'm trying to make a plan here for what direction to go. So I think it's either cross the river and then kind of end up in the desert, across the river, try to cross these mountains and hit this road down here, or I can kind of come loop up and around. And that seems like the safest kind of travel, and make my way down this way, maybe eventually over to this town over here, or more interesting stuff down here. I'm kind of tempted to go up and around. Anybody in the chat, if you have any opinions on what strategy, whether I should go across the river to the southeast and towards the desert, or northwest, loop around to try to get... I'm eventually going to have to cross this other river, this Nesser, the Nesser. Eventually going to have to cross a river. There's a town right there. There's a town very close to me. Maybe that's a good target, because maybe I can find somebody to heal my terrible poison in that little town of Cymru there. What do you think? That would be. All right. I'm not seeing anybody in the chat weigh in. So that's what we're doing. I'm going to go up to the hills and the forest and the hills and try to make my way to Cymru. That's my plan. So day three. Poisoned, but with a pack full of dried boar meat, Kel'arath attempts to travel up to the hills. Now I'm in the forest. My chance of getting lost is an 8+. That's only a 6. So we're doing all right. Not lost. So we're going to move on up into the hills. And hills are going to give us an event on a 10+. No event. And I think I'm going to, since my pack is full of meat, I'm going to not risk the box cars on the hunt. I'm just going to eat my boar meat and then move on into the fourth day. Okay, we're in the hills on day 4. Lost on an 8+. Not lost. That is a 7. So I'm going to come on up into this forest. And our forest event happens on a 9+. Nope, no event. I'm going to eat some more boar meat and on to day 5. I'm going to go south. I'm going to go south here into these hills. What am I in the forest? So I lost on an 8. Oh, I get lost. I mean, I guess that was inevitable. We're just going to quickly remind ourselves what it means to be lost. Roll 2 dice if the equals in, or exceeds the number your party is lost. If you get lost, you cannot further that day. I guess move is probably. You are stuck in the hex you tried to leave. You must check for a travel event in the hex you tried to enter as if you had actually entered it. This reflects you wandering around the edges of the new hex and perhaps encountering something. That's fascinating. I would have thought that the encounter would have happened in the hex that I stay in. I just am lost in the forest, never made my way out of the forest. But okay, game. You tell me that I got to roll for an event on the hills. So that's what we're doing. Event on a 10+. Nope, we just wander around lost for a day. Okay, day 6. Let's see if we can get out of the stinking forest. Lost on an 8. Not lost. I'm going to see if I can angle this up a little bit better just to get the dice. Okay. Not lost. So moving into the hills. Event on the hills is a 10+. 9. No event. This is kind of tedious travel here, but I don't mind it. I go into day on my end of my first week. I still got one. I eat my one. I've got one meal of boar meat left in my pack. On day 7, I'm going to try and travel south to Cymru. Lost leaving the hills on an 8. Oh. Wah, wah. I get lost in the hills. Lost in the hills. I gotta still check for a countryside event, which is on a 9. Nope, that's a 6. And so I'm stuck here. That sucks. I think I had better go hunting because I'm down to just this one last food unit left. So we're gonna hunt. What did we say? It's 9 minus my roll in units. Not bad. 6. So I make 3. So I'm back up to 3 food. And we're into the second week now. First day of the second week. See if I can find my way to the stinking town. I heard there was a town around here somewhere. Lost on an 8, leaving the hills. Ooh, 7. We're doing all right. Gonna make it into Cymru. And event. Now, is there anything special for like a town event? Probably not. I think town just gives me new actions I can take while I'm here. But countryside event is on a 9. No event. Ah, but the end of day changes a little bit when you're in a town. So let's flip to that section. Food and lodging, 215 and 217. So, you know, as I'm flipping through here, here's a little anecdote for you. When I was working on Road of Kings, because it was so heavily influenced by this game, and I was a little worried about drawing the right line between, say, homage and just ripoff, I actually got in touch with Arnold Hendrick, who wrote this game. Not that he still had the rights or anything, but I thought it would be nice to just kind of have his blessing and know that I had made this thing and that it was meant in the spirit of homage because I love this game. He was very, very cool about it. He thought it was a neat project. Had no problems with me building the thing. Was really, really, really nice guy. Sadly, Arnold Hendrick passed away in 2020. Because I kind of wish I had asked him some design questions. I think I was so concerned about just making sure that he was cool with what I was doing. I never bothered to ask him. I would have loved to ask him a few things about, like, hey, how about this river crossing nonsense? Would you change that if you could today? Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so food. I obviously cannot hunt. Populated regions, if you hunt in a farmland hex, no, and purchase. If you're in a town, castle, or village, you can purchase food for each character. Normal cost is 1 gold piece per character for food that day. If you don't purchase food, you must eat stores, as hunting is prohibited in these hexes. That's fine. I got 3 food units. I'm just going to eat the food that I have on me. I'm not going to spend one of my whopping 2 gold. However, lodging. If your party finishes the day in a town, castle, or temple hex, after eating, you normally buy lodging for your party. Each room costs 1 gold piece for the night. You and any priests, monks, magicians, wizards, or witches in your party each require a single room. All other followers can share 2 per room, if you wish. How nice. They can share. Animals are placed in stables at 1 gold piece per mount. If you decide to not purchase rooms due to lack of funds or a desire to save money, you must roll 2 dice for each character in your party and then subtract your wit and wiles from the result. If the total is 4 or more, the character deserts. He refuses to serve such a pernicious leader. Penurious leader. Such a penurious leader. If a mount is without stable, roll 1 die. It is perilous. Well, what about me, though? What if I just decide to sleep in the gutter? I'm obviously not going to leave. Can I just sleep in the gutter for free? Because, whatever. Well, whatever. I got 2 gold. What's gold but 4 but spending? I'm going to spend one of my 2 gold on somewhere to sleep tonight. nice comment here from Comey Mark. You can hunt in town, but everyone calls you a werewolf. So the funny thing is there's actually rules in here for if you hunt in a populated space, such as there's like farmland spaces, and you get in trouble with the locals because I think it basically assumes you're like hunting the livestock. So yeah, it doesn't go so well if you hunt in those squares. Or hexes, rather. I don't know about hunting in a town. It seems to be just forbidden. Anyway, we're at a new day. We're on the second day of the second week. We're in the town of Cymru, poisoned, feeling unwell, but in a town which opens up some interesting new avenues for us. I will read you what we can do here. In addition to resting or traveling to a new hex or searching for a previously hidden cache, we can seek news and information. We can seek to hire followers. I'm pretty poor. I don't think that's happening. We can seek an audience with the local lord. We can't submit an offering, but that's only at temples. And we can search ruins if we're in ruins. We're not. So news and information, hire followers, or an audience with the local lord. What do you think? What's more likely to find me some healing of horrible poison? Is it news and information or an audience with the local lord? I'm tempted to go with seeking an audience with the local lord. Let's do that. R211. As a daily action, you spend the day trying to gain admission to the hall or court for an interview with the town mayor, high priest of the temple, or castle lord. Yeah, I want to talk to the town mayor. Let's do that. Roll two dice and consult the appropriate table below. Now, confusingly, as I'm scanning this table real quick, now high is good. I don't know why, but the high ones look pretty nice, and the low numbers look terrible. So here we go. That is an 8. Audience refused today. You may try again. Ask again later. Really? I've wasted my whole day in the stinking town, and the mayor won't even meet with me. What a jerk. I guess I eat my food for the day. I'm going to sleep in the gutters. I don't want to lose my last single gold piece. a filthy man who smells of snake meat to see you, my lord. Indeed. Quite. Yeah. Well, that, but, I mean, I did spend the money to stay in a... Oh, boy. Do I continue to bang my head against this, or do I just move along? I guess one more day. I got one gold left. What's one more day in town, right? I'll spend the money to stay there. I didn't move, so I don't have to, like, roll for events, I don't think, because that's only for travel. So the next day, third day of week 2, I'm going to try again. I'm going to once more. Come on. We can do it. We just got to get a nice high roll here for... Come on, town mayor. It should give you, like, a progressive bonus or something for your perseverance, right? No. Oh, boy. Meet hostile guards. It's not going so well. The dirty hobo smelling of snake meat continued to bang on the door, and finally the lord was like, guards, get this man out of my sight. Here we go. 158, I believe, is the number. 158. Hostile guards. You leave the rest of your party in an atrium and then are confronted by 2 hostile guards. Each is combat skill 5. I don't like that I'm hearing combat skill. Endurance 6 and wealth 7. If you pay 20 gold as a bribe, they let you pass. I don't have 20 gold. Roll again on the appropriate seeking audience table. Otherwise, they will attack you, getting the first strike in combat. I'm not even getting thrown out. They're just immediately, kill him. You sharks. Oh, no. Regardless of whether you win or lose, the combat means you must immediately escape from this hex R218. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to fight some guards. And given that I'm horribly poisoned, I don't think it's going to go so well. So here's my stats, Kal RF. And we have guards. 2 guards. They are combat skill... combat skill 5, endurance 6, and wealth 7. No, I mean, maybe this is at least a way to get some money. If I kill some of this guy's guards and run away. But the fact that we're so low on endurance is really going to make us very bad at this combat. So probably this is where I die horribly. How are we doing on time? Wow, we've almost run... we may not get to play a second game of this in the limited time that's left here. But let's do a combat, because why not? Because I have to, because I'm getting attacked by guards. Trying to get out the combat tables here. Combat. And they said they get the first strike on me, too, so that's super fun. Okay, so they're each going to attack me. To resolve a combat strike, take the combat skill of the striker and subtract from it the combat skill of the target attacker. So they're only 5 minus my 8 is negative 3. If the target has a better skill, the result will be negative. Yeah, roll 2 dice and add the result of the skill comparison to the dice roll. Finally, add or subtract any special modifiers that apply to the total. Here are the 3 special modifiers. Plus 2 if the target of strike has wounds equaling half or more of his endurance. Well, guess what? I'm horribly poisoned. They get the plus 2. Minus 1 if the striker has 1 or more wounds. Minus 1 if the striker has wounds equaling half or more. So The striker is totally fine. So -3, +2, he gets a -1 on the die roll. So here's the first guy swinging at me with rolls a 10, -1 is 9. And according to the chart, that results in very confusing. I'm going to show you guys what I'm looking at here. Here we go. Am I just... is it just nothing if the number's not there? Strikes the barbarian. If one of the listed numbers has occurred, the target suffers the number of wounds. If a number result is not listed, the strike missed and no wounds are inflicted. Okay, so 9's not on there. So, okay, that's a miss. Okay, the second one coming at me at a -1. He gets a 2, also not on the table. That's a miss. All right, Kel-Arath will strike at guard number 1. Now, this is the inverse. 8 -5 is a +3, but I'm getting -1 for striker has one or more wounds, and -1 for striker has wounds equaling half or more of his endurance in addition to the above. So -2. So I'm at a +1 on the first guard, but that's an 11, which tells me one wound. So I'm just going to put guard 1 and guard 2 here, and guard 1 has taken one wound. So you can see what I mean about the combat sequence done manually, pretty slow. So that's why I wrote the software. You burn through some of these a little bit faster. But we're going to keep going, and I'm going to try and go a little bit faster here. So here we come. Guard 1 is... I'm going to write the values. So Kel-Arath is currently striking at a +1. Guard 1 is currently striking at a... -3, +2 is -1, -2, and guard 2 is striking at a -1. Okay. -2 is an 8. I take a wound. Great. The second one at a -1, another 8. I take another wound, and according to this, I'm now unconscious. Okay. That didn't take long. What happens when I fall unconscious? Good things, right? Absolutely good things to me. When the number of wounds is 1 less than a character's endurance value, he's fallen unconscious and he's totally helpless. Combat skill becomes 0. He can no longer strike in combat, but others can strike at him. If the barbarian prince yourself falls unconscious, roll 1 die for the attitude of his followers. 4 or more, and they carry him along. 3 or less, they all desert him, taking all his money and possessions in the process, since they have left him for dead. If his followers carry him, normal transport applies, with the prince counting as 20 loads. Oh yeah, there's a whole encumbrance system. I think the answer is they either kill me or they throw me in prison. The end of the barbarian prince. Yeah, because I don't... At this point, it says, I don't have followers to carry me along. My combat skill becomes 0. I can no longer strike in combat, but others can still strike at me. I think they kick me into a bloody pulp and leave me, chuck me out the gate, and the end. Sorry, Kel-Arath. Died horribly in the streets of Cymru, poisoned and beaten. Okay, there you go. Well, with 7 minutes left in the stream, I don't think that we're going to get another run of this in. It's brutal. It's really... What a hard, hard game this is. There's a ton of luck, obviously. Lots of dice rolling. There's so much. I think the thing that really draws me to this game is this is the event booklet, and it is fat with interesting stuff. There are special locations. There are towns where you really do want to talk to, seek audience with people, because I think there's something like 3 other win conditions hidden in the map in the booklet for just getting the right event at the right time. You're constantly in here rules for, like, if you're mounted or if you have a flying mount. What if everyone in your party is flying? I've never seen that. All the times I've played this game, I've never once gotten my party to be flying, but somehow it is possible. There's all kinds of things you can bump into: dwarves, elves, goblins, orcs, all your kind of classic fantasy type stuff. It's written in 1981. there's some content that might be seen as a little problematic these days. I'm thinking specifically here. I know that there's an entry in here about going to a slave trade, and you can actually like engage with that, which is not great. And there is a whole bit about like getting married and falling in love. Again, stuff that I've never seen in this game. But there's, of course, charts upon charts for what it means to fall in love or get married or whatever. There's just so much. And I think that's what draws me to this game. I want to see it. And I don't want to just like read the whole booklet and spoil all the content. I want to bump into it myself. And for me, a lot of it is the emergent story. I think one of the things I really enjoy is adding to the random events, right? For example, interpreting the getting bit by a poisonous snake as being, that I was out hunting and I stepped on a poisonous snake and it bit me and I bit its head off. It just seems hilariously Conan-esque to me and just fun. It just adds a little interest to the story. I'm sorry that it didn't go better for me in this run, everyone. I appreciate you coming along for the ride. It's, I've kind of all sitting out here. I might play a little more. I'm also looking for stuff to do in I'm looking for stuff to do in the next week, because as mentioned at the top of the show, Dan is out for 2 weeks, and I gotta fill next week as well. I mean, I could play more Barbarian Prince if you guys really want, but I'm wondering if that's more entertaining to me than to the rest of you. So If you have thoughts, leave a comment for me to type in the chat, come to the after party chat, talk on the Discord. If you're on the Discord, give me some ideas of what you would like to see next week. I'm hoping that when Dan is back, actually, maybe we'll go back. Maybe I'll get him to like watch this episode and we can talk a little bit about Barbarian Prince. That might be kind of fun. But until then, yeah, I think if you've played the game or you've played other solo games that you think would also be up my alley, leave me a comment about that. I love these kinds of games. I might play more on the stream down the road, so let me know and maybe I'll check one of them out. I played a lot of the old adventure books back in the day. I remember playing the Lone Wolf books. Those were super fun. I loved those as a kid. So I don't know if just watching me sit there read though is that exciting. At least this one's got like a nice pretty board and pieces to move around. Anyway, those are my thoughts on Barbarian Prince. Thank you again for joining me for the ride. Remember that you can like, follow, and subscribe to us. We're on YouTube and Twitch and Facebook and Loops and TikTok and GitHub. We have the handle Wandering DMs on all those sites. So please join us there and usurp that like button. If you prefer to listen to this show in audio-only podcast format, you can do so. Those podcasts are on our website at wanderingdms.com. Also available through various podcast carriers like iTunes and Spotify and Pocket Cast. And if you're listening to this show right now on one of those sites and it gives the ability to do so, please consider giving us a 5-star review. That helps other listeners on that site find us, and we really appreciate it. Huge thanks to all of our patrons who support the show, make it possible. If you'd like to join them, please visit patreon.com/wanderingdms. Every tier gets you access to our private Discord server, where we do have the most intelligent, erudite, attractive patrons in all the land, conversing about D&D and solo board games and miniatures and all things interesting to us gamer folk. All kinds of fascinating topics. So please do come and join us. I'll be there in about 10 minutes to host the after chat. So come on and join me. Don't forget, I am live at least every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So I hope you'll join me next week for another interesting game or a thought-provoking conversation. I'll see you then.